אנחנו לומדים מספר כתבי בעל הסולם את ההקדמה לתלמוד 10 הספירות
בעמוד We're reading the introduction to Tess starting with item 17
maybe even 16 עמוד
773 item 16 introduction to Tess מתורצת קושיית התוספות
דאמרינן שם כל העוסק בתורה לשמה
It says, anyone who's engaged in the Torah for him becomes a potion of life. And anyone who's engaged in it לא לשמה, for him it's the potion of death. And they asked, Yet we said, one should always engage in the Torah even if lo lishma, since from lo lishma he'll come to lishma. According to the explained above, we should divide it simply. One who engages in Torah for the mitzvah of learning Torah and believes in reward and punishment, but associating self-pleasure and benefit with the intention to bring contentment to his maker, the light in it will reform him, and he will achieve lishma. And one who learns Torah not for the mitzvah of learning Torah, since he does not believe in reward and punishment to the extent that he should labor so much for it, but exerts only for his own pleasure, it becomes a potion of death for him. Since for him, the light in it is turned to darkness.
In other words, we have to engage in Torah, and this means to, or instrument for discovering the Creator, in such a way that it brings us light. And that light should change us, correct us, according to the Creator. Go on.
Item 17.
Hence the student pledges, prior to the study, to strengthen himself in faith in the Creator and in his guidance in reward and punishment, as our sages said. Your employer is liable to pay you the reward for your work.
Meaning, we are certain that if we engage in the Torah correctly, it is certain that we will achieve its goal.
One should aim one's labor to be for the mitzvot of the Torah.
What does it mean, the mitzvah of the Torah, the commandments of the Torah? It is that by learning, we will achieve the revelation of the Creator.
And in this way, he will be rewarded with enjoying the light in it, and his faith will strengthen and grow through the power in it, in this light, as it is written, it shall be health to your navel and marrow to your bones. Then one can be certain that from lo lishma he will come to lishma, in a way that even one who knows about himself that he has not been rewarded with faith still has hope through the practice of Torah, for if he sets his heart and mind to attain faith in the Creator through it, there is no greater mitzvah than this. It is, as our sages said, Chavakuk came and stressed only this, a righteous shall live by his faith. Moreover, there is no other counsel but this. As it is written, Rabba said, Job wished to rid the whole world of judgment. He said to him, Master of the world, you have created the righteous, you have created the wicked. Who holds you down? And Rashi interprets there, You have created the righteous through the good inclination. You have created the wicked through the evil inclination. Hence, none are saved from your hand. For who holds you down? Cursed are the sinners. And what did the friends of Job reply? Indeed, you revoke fear and impair prayer before God. The Creator created the evil inclination. He has created for it the Torah as a spice. Rashi interprets there, created for it the Torah, which is a spice that revokes thoughts of transgression. As it is said, if you come across the villain, pull him to the seminary. If you come across this villain, pull him to the seminary. If he is hard, he will soften. Hence, not coerced are they, for they could save themselves.
Questions. And this is the most important piece in the whole introduction. Maybe you should read it again, if I don't know. They're either, I don't know, maybe they fell asleep or they're kind of dense.
Item 17 again. Hence the student pledges, prior to the study, to strengthen himself in faith in the Creator and in His guidance and reward and punishment. As our sages said, your employer is liable to pay you the reward for your work. One should aim one's labor to be for the mitzvah of the Torah, and in this way he will be rewarded with enjoying the light in it, and his faith will strengthen and grow through the power in this light, as it is written. It shall be health to your navel and marrow to your bones. Then one can be certain that from lo lishma he will come to lishma, in a way that even one who knows about himself that he has not been rewarded with faith still has hope through the practice of Torah. For if he sets his heart and mind to attain faith in the Creator through it, there is no greater mitzvah than this. It is, as our sages said, Chavakuk came and stressed only this: a righteous shall live by his faith. Moreover, there is no other counsel but this, as it is written, Rabba said, Job wished to rid the whole world of judgment. He said to him, Master of the world, you have created the righteous, you have created the wicked. Who holds you down? And Rashi interprets there, you have created the righteous through the good inclination, you have created the wicked through the evil inclination. Hence, none are saved from your hand. For who holds you down? Coerced are the sinners. And what did the friends of Job reply? Indeed, you revoke fear and impair prayer before God. The Creator created the evil inclination. He has created for it the Torah as a spice. Rashi interprets there, created for it the Torah, which is a spice that revokes thoughts of transgression, as it is said, if you come across this villain, pull him to the seminary. If he is hard, he will soften. Hence, not coerced are they, for they could save themselves.
PT2.
Being engaged in Torah, lishma, or not lishma, that's the difference between the potion of life and the potion of death. And still we say that from lo lishma we come to lishma. How does this transition go? How is it that we are engaged in something that's the potion of death when the intention of reaching the potion of life?
Because it's showing you to what extent you are in death, in a state of death. When you think about you being in the potion of death, who are you thinking about? Just regular, secular or religious people who are outside of the wisdom of Kabbalah?
No, I'm thinking about my approach to it.
So, when they are either in the potion of life or in the potion of death, it means we are directed at the purpose of creation. Because you can't say about a person who engages in Torah or just is secular that he feels what is the potion of life or the potion of death. He doesn't have these things. It is only through engagement in Torah, when he still engages in the Torah that hasn't corrected him, then he feels that he is in the potion of death. And when he comes to a state where he corrects himself, it's called the potion of life. It's not about secular or religious people outside of the wisdom of Kabbalah.
When we're engaged in the Torah, we discover that we're not in Lishma, in the position of death, and from that we yearn for Lishma?
Yes, and by that you advance to Lishma, but to for her sake. But the rest don't discover it, they don't see it, and you're forbidden to tell them. Every person has to discover it for himself. Give.
What I don't understand from the text is, what does he mean that by this you destroy the fear? By what actions is that done? How do you turn to the Creator?
Where is he talking about it?
I think that Rashi explained that he had created the Torah, which is spice, and so on.
Yeah, what should I answer? I don't understand what he's asking.
Vlad, what is the question? What's unclear is that here you're saying that by that you destroy the fear, and what do you do in order not to destroy the fear in turning to the Creator?
Well, as usual, be in a group, in the study, be included with everyone. I can't tell you what. And as much as possible, delve into the words that Kabbalists write for you until you begin to understand what is required of you. It may take a few years.
And what he says here, that the Torah is a spice that helps you. In what way? Suppose I have different foreign thoughts now. How can the Torah help?
Delve into the purpose of the study and the purpose of life, and you'll see how everything else just leaves you, flees away from you in the meantime. Okay? Let's keep going.
Item 18.
Clearly, they cannot rid themselves from the judgment if they say that they received that spice and still have thoughts of transgression, meaning that they are still in doubt and the evil inclination has not yet melted, for the Creator who created it and gave the evil inclination its strength evidently knew to create the remedy and the spice liable to wear off the power of the evil inclination and eradicate it altogether. And if one practices Torah and fails to remove the evil inclination for himself, it is either that he has been negligent in giving the necessary labor and exertion in the practice of Torah, as it is written, I did not labor and found, do not believe, or perhaps he did put it in the necessary amount of labor, but has been negligent in the quality. This means that while practicing Torah, they did not set their minds and hearts to draw the light in the Torah, which brings faith to one's heart. Rather, they have been absent-minded about the principal requirement demanded of the Torah, namely the light that yields faith. And although they initially aimed for it, their minds went astray during the study. Either way, one cannot rid oneself of the judgment by arguing coercion, for our sages strictly state, I have created the evil inclination, I have created for it the Torah as a spice. If there had been any exceptions in this, then Job's question would remain valid.
Shilot. Ashkelon.
Questions. Ashkelon.
During the preparation time, the time preparation, is a person in being negligent in the quality and quantity of exertion?
To some extent, it is dependent on that, yeah. But it's according to how much he understands or retains, how much he's taken seriously from above.
A person has to merit being treated seriously, then.
He is treated according to his effort. New York 3. New York 3. Nothing? Okay.
Latin 4.
So, Latin 4.
Querido Rab, ¿qué es lo más importante que debemos hacer en la decena para que nuestro esfuerzo de conexión y estudio no se vuelva en positivo?
What's the most important thing we have to do in the 10 so that our efforts will not turn into the potion of death?
It is that you learn so that the learning will give you such intense connection that in the connection between you, you will discover the Creator. That's it. You understand? There is nothing here. You are a 10. You want to unite through this study, through this light of Torah. You want to connect so much that the connection will be revealed in such a way that the Creator is revealed in it. That's it. It's not that complicated.
Yes. Galil West.
What is a transgression in the spiritual work, in my inner work, in the 10?
A transgression is when you forget, as he writes, that he became negligent or absent-minded from the main thing in the Torah, that it has to bring faith, meaning connection among everyone. This is the crime, the transgression. Tel Aviv 1.
It says that you shall not have a foreign god. So why is this kind of exertion in quality and quantity demanded, and you have to get the, such great importance before you attain him?
That your importance will be on attaining the upper world and not on continuing to live in the imagination you're living in now. It doesn't require more of you. They just want to bring you to the actual reality. PT 18.
Yov says that Job, he wanted to free the world of judgment. You've created the wicked, you have created the righteous, and so on. At the end, he says that if there was any exception here, then his question is valid. So what's wrong with this question? What's wrong with what he said? Why?
Job says, you created these righteous through the good inclination. You created the rest, the wicked, through the evil inclination. These are bad, these are good. What do you want from them? So we are forbidden to relate to reality in this way, to say that Amnon is bad, but correspondingly he is given the ability, the possibility to correct himself and become good.
So I don't understand, why do we say Alas and so on?
Well, of course it shouldn't stay this way. Of course.
If Amnon's bad and he was given the opportunity to correct, great.
Oh, so you can't divide people into bad and good unless everyone has a possibility. So there are no righteous and wicked, but in the meantime, everyone can be either way.
Not every person has the ability?
Yes, of course, everyone has it.
I don't really understand, but
what's not clear?
If a person has the privilege and opportunity to correct himself, what's wrong with that?
It is fine. Don't relate to him as if he is wicked, but because each one has an opportunity to correct. Don't say the wicked are coerced. They're not coerced. They can take the Torah and correct themselves. And then anyone can do it.
Again, there's something that I don't understand. At the end of the article, he says, I've created the evil inclination, I've created Torah spies, because if there were any exception here.
The Torah can't correct a person. So Job's question of saying, you created the wicked, you created the righteous, and it would stand valid. But it doesn't stand valid. This is only the initial condition, the preliminary situation. Yes? Look at your own group. Well, you see? Look at them. They're all wicked in your group. It's a sign that if you take care of yourself, then you'll be great, righteous.
They're doing great things.
Yeah. Look at those faces. Ooh. All right. Where are we?
Item 19.
Go ahead.
Through all that has been explained thus far, I've removed the great complaint about the words of Rav Chaim Vital in his introduction to Shara Agdamot by the Ari and the introduction to the book Tree of Life. He writes, Indeed, one should not say, I shall go and engage in the wisdom of Kabbalah before he engages in the Torah, Mishnah, and Talmud. This is because our sages have already said, one should not enter the Pardes unless he has filled his stomach with meat and wine. This is like a soul without a body. It has no reward or act or consideration before it is connected in a body. When it is whole, corrected in the mitzvot of the Torah and 613 mitzvot. Conversely, when one is occupied with the wisdom of the Mishnah and the Babylonian Talmud, and does not give a part to the secrets of the Torah and its concealments, as well, it is like a body that sits in the darkness without a human soul, God's candle which shines within it. Thus, the body is dry and does not draw from the source of life. Thus, a wise disciple who participates in Torah Lishma should first engage in the wisdom of the Bible, the Mishnah, and the Talmud, as long as his mind can tolerate. Afterward, he will delve into knowing his Maker in the wisdom of truth. It is as King David commanded his son Solomon, know the God of your father and servant.
But this is on condition that he engages in Torah Lishma.
And if that person finds the study of the Talmud heavy and difficult, he is better off leaving it once he has tested his luck and his in this wisdom, and engage in the wisdom of truth. It is written, a disciple who has not seen a good sign in his learning within 5 years will also not see it. Thus, every person for whom learning is easy must dedicate a portion of 1 or 2 hours a day to study the halakha and explain and interpret the questions in the literal halakha.
Tov, yesh kan Santiago.
All right, we got Santiago, please.
Esta confirmación es una sensación o es una aceptación de fe sobre la razón?
Is this validation of feeling or is it faith above reason?
We still have to scrutinize this. This is a very complicated excerpt. It's not clear. Is it something we have to do or maybe we shouldn't do it? He writes that it is those who are studying Torah Lishma already for her sake. So there's a question here. Bar HaSulam here kind of twists things around because he doesn't want to be jumped on by the Orthodox circles. What is he writing again? Item 19 again. Through all that has been explained thus far, I have removed a great complaint about the words of Rav Chaim Vital. That he writes, indeed, one should not say, I shall go engage in the wisdom of Kabbalah before he engages in Torah, Mishnah, and Talmud. So first he has to engage in Torah, Mishnah, and Talmud, ostensibly. This is because our sages have already said, one should not enter the Pardes, meaning the whole Torah, unless he has filled his stomach with meat and wine, Mishnah and Talmud. This is like a soul without a body. It has no reward or act or consideration before it is connected in a body when it is whole, corrected in the mitzvot, commandments of the Torah, in the 613 commandments. So first, off the sound. Of course, it's not about our flesh flesh and blood body. In a flesh and blood body, there's no difference in terms of what happens. But Rav Chaim Vital says that we have to enter the Torah, study Torah, on condition that we have corrected ourselves in all 613 organs, 248 tendons, and 365 organs, meaning in all of our 613 organs were corrected. Conversely, when one is occupied with the wisdom of the Mishnah and Babylonian Talmud and does not give part of the secrets of Torah and its concealments as well, it is like a body that sits in a darkness without a human soul, God's candle, which shines in it. Thus, the body is dry and does not draw from a source of life. Why? Because he doesn't have light with which to sort out the kelim, the vessels to fill the kelim. So he is studying the Torah when it's dry, so to speak. Thus, a wise disciple, here he adds, who practices Torah lishma, you understand who is talking about, what degree he's talking about, should first engage in the wisdom of the Bible, the Mishnah, and the Talmud, if he's already come to the Torah Lishma. How much should he engage in Torah and Mishnah and Talmud? As long as his mind can tolerate. Meaning this too is on condition that he's already in Lishma. Afterward, he will delve into knowing his Maker in the wisdom of truth, wisdom of Kabbalah. It is as King David commanded his son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him. And if that person finds the study of the Talmud heavy and difficult, even if he's studying Lishma, but it's very difficult for him to study Talmud, he is better off leaving it, the Talmud. Once he has tested his luck in this wisdom and engaged, and he saw that he couldn't, it's too difficult for him, and engage in the wisdom of truth. Engage in the wisdom of Kabbalah only. It is written, a disciple who has not seen a good sign in his learning within 5 years will also not see it. Meaning, what is there here after he engages in the Torah Lishma and studies all the parts of the Torah, then he also sees if it's difficult for him, he should drop it. But he should drop all the learning. Thus, every person for whom learning is easy must dedicate a portion of 1 or 2 hours a day. To study the halakha, Jewish conducts, laws, and explain and interpret the questions in the literal halakha. This is what he says. All in all, we have, Vlad, of course, he's a great righteous. He needs to know what's going on here. Yes.
I wanted to ask, what is that good sign that one has to see after 5 years?
The good sign, a student who hasn't seen a good sign, is when it comes to acquire the whole Torah. Look, what is happening here first? In a way that a wise disciple engages in Torah Lishma, at the first engages, and if he finds it difficult, he can quit. But he shouldn't quit the literal laws. But the philosophizing in the Talmud, he can leave it. In other words, he gets it easier. He gets this easier conditions. But In any case, it is not before he attains Torah Lishma. He achieves Lishma. Lishma meaning studying, working in order to bestow. And then he can learn Torah, because without it, he's not even learning Torah. He's learning only knowledge.
In general, would it be possible to attain the Lishma only to studying Talmud, for example?
There were times when it was possible, yes. There were times, there were souls that were finer than ours, not as egoistic and materialistic, and they could attain the Torah Lishma even without learning the wisdom of Kabbalah. Yeah.
And for us, a good sign, what is that?
Of course, if a person doesn't attain Lishma, there's nothing you can do here.
And in our generation, how is that measured? Or is it some kind of extended period that you can measure?
Today, without the wisdom of Kabbalah, you can't even understand what is required of a person, what he should achieve, much less actually achieve it. It has to be the true wisdom of Kabbalah in a group under all the conditions that Rabash writes. Otherwise, it's hopeless. Because 100 years ago, 200 years ago, people were completely different from us. They had no ego. How immersed were they in the desire to attain, to acquire, to possess? They didn't have it. It was so easy. But today, it's something awful. People weren't developed.
Last question. How can a friend in our world group understand that it's a good sign that he'll get success and he's advancing toward Lishma?
The Lord loves, the Lord will admonish. Meaning, the more problems he has on the path, it is a sign that the Creator loves him. Because otherwise he won't progress. There are also people that I yell at more often. Today I see that one of them disappeared already. Maybe he quit. Because they don't understand the progress correctly. Precisely when someone is placed, is pressured. You see? You, I'm not pressuring you. I treat you with respect. You call me beloved teacher, and I also speak to you politely. But those who are strong and are close to me, I treat them accordingly. All right. Niv, are you going to work on something or what's with you?
Item 20. These words of his seem very perplexing. He says that before one succeeds in the study of the literal, one should already engage in the wisdom of truth. This contradicts his own words from before, that the wisdom of Kabbalah without the literal Torah is as a soul without a body, having no deed, consideration, or reward. The evidence he brings of a disciple who did not see a good sign is even more perplexing, for did our sages say that he should therefore abandon the learning of Torah? Certainly it is to caution him to examine his ways and try with another teacher or in another portion, but he must certainly not leave the Torah, even the literal Torah.
Again.
Item 20. These words of his seem very perplexing. He says that before one succeeds in the study of the literal, one should already engage in the wisdom of truth. This contradicts his own words from before, that the wisdom of Kabbalah without the literal Torah is as a soul without a body, having no deed, consideration, or reward. The evidence he brings of a disciple who did not see a good sign is even more perplexing. For did our sages say that he should therefore abandon the learning of Torah? Certainly it is to caution him to examine his ways and try with another teacher or in another portion, but he must certainly not leave the Torah, even the literal Torah.
In other words, this is still a question. We need to understand that this introduction, Balasulam wrote it to people who were learning a lot of Talmud, who didn't belong to the wisdom of Kabbalah, who objected to the wisdom of Kabbalah. And he was trying to explain to everyone what's happening here, why it's necessary to study the wisdom of Kabbalah.
Item 21. Another perplexity is that both the words of Rav Chaim Vital and the words of the Gemara imply that one needs some specific preparation and merit to be rewarded with the wisdom of Torah. Yet our sages said, the Creator said to Israel, regard, the whole wisdom and the whole Torah are easy. Anyone who fears me and observes the words of the Torah, the whole wisdom and the whole Torah are in his heart. Thus, we need no prior merit here, but only by virtue of fear of the Creator and the keeping of mitzvot is one granted the whole wisdom of the Torah. So, to keep the mitzvah of the Torah, but what he wants to show now that it's impossible.
He's trying to tell us that without drawing reforming light, even it is impossible to observe even one condition in the Torah, because the whole Torah was given so that man would correct his desire. Germany. 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 Are they getting this sound or not? All right, because they had something there. Africa.
Can you hear us?
I hear you.
Hello, Rav. Today we're able to gather in our center after a long time. After a long quarantine due to the virus and so on, and we wanted to ask, we're thinking about getting rid of our center because from what we hear, the wave of the coronavirus is going to come back again and again.
We can't hear you. Speak into the microphone.
If you can give us some guidance.
We're constantly talking about it. Only unite and study together. There's nothing else. Africa.
Our question is, we know that there's no time in spirituality, but only actions towards the goal. Regarding the preparation that Bala Sulam talks about in the article, and the time frames that he mentioned in, I think article 19, item 19, talking about 5 years and whatnot, we want to ask, do these corporeal time frames equate to spiritual actions?
No.
No, not always. Sometimes they are, sometimes they're not. But it's better not to connect them to one another.
So how can a person scrutinize, you know, the real meaning of these corporeal branches in which he expresses himself?
We're not relating to the corporeal branches at all. They don't exist. It's an imaginary world. We relate only to the spiritual branches. Chaverim.
So, going back to Vlad's question, a good sign is being disconnected, detached from the pleasure, from one's own pleasure and caring for the group. That's where the Lishma is?
Yes. Good. United VG3.
Preparation means to be mutually integrated.
VG4.
Didn't Chaim Vital say that studying all the other things like the Midrash and blah blah blah, but just clothing the true wisdom, and that we should just be studying the wisdom of Kabbalah?
No, we have to study the wisdom of Kabbalah and then the rest of the parts of the Torah, because then you'll be able to understand them correctly. Tel Aviv 1.
When he talks about studying the wisdom of truth, that's a bit clearer, because you and Rabash explained it, but 100 years ago, what did he mean?
He meant that from the time of the Ari onward, the world has come into such a state that we have to study the wisdom of Kabbalah, and Rav Chaim Vital, the student of the Ari, says, that's what he talks about when he says that we have to do it. And you can't disregard it, because by this we become completely disconnected from the Torah. Bulgaria 1.
What is the reforming light?
The reforming light. And that's the light that brings us back to the source. It's the light of Chokhmah that shines on us and cleanses and corrects us. Hebrew 10.
About a student that sees no good sign for 5 years. Suppose we're doing serious work in the 10 for the past year and a half. So should we expect to see in 3 years something good?
Time makes no difference here, only your efforts. Will your efforts be exactly according to what time requires? This is what you should check yourselves on. That's it. I'm done with all the questions. Oh, great. Niv. 29.
PT 29.
Rav, that we're focused on the connection and we don't always do it in order to give contentment to the Creator. This what's lacking in our exertion to reach Lishma?
Perhaps. Niv.
Item 22. Indeed, if we examine his words, they will become as clear to us as the object of the sky in purity. What he wrote, he is better of leaving his hand off it, once he has tested his luck and the wisdom of the revealed. Does not refer to luck of wit and erudition, rather, it is, as we explained above in the explanation, I've created the evil inclination, I've created for it the Torah as a spice. It means that he has delved and exerted in the revealed Torah, and still the evil inclination is in power and has not melted at all. This is because he is still not saved from thoughts of transgression, as Rashi writes above in the explanation, I have created for it the Torah as a spice. Hence he advises him to leave it and engage in the wisdom of truth, for it is easier to draw the light in the Torah while practicing and laboring in the wisdom of truth than in laboring in the revealed Torah. The reason is very simple. The wisdom of the revealed Torah is clothed in external corporeal clothes, such as stealing, plundering, torts, etc. For this reason, it is difficult and heavy for any person to aim his mind and heart to the Creator while learning so as to draw the light in the Torah. It is even more so for a person for whom learning the Talmud itself is heavy and arduous. How can he remember the Creator during the study, since the scrutiny concerns corporeal matters and cannot come in him simultaneously with the intention for the Creator? Therefore, he advises him to engage in the wisdom of Kabbalah. As this wisdom is clothed entirely in the names of the Creator, then he will certainly be able to easily aim his mind and heart to the Creator during the study, even if it is very difficult for him to study, for the study of the issues of the wisdom and the Creator are one and the same, and this is very simple.
Again,
item 22. Indeed, if we examine his words, they will become as clear to us as the object of the sky in purity. What he wrote, he is better off leaving his hand off it, once he has tested his luck in the wisdom of the revealed, does not refer to luck of wit and erudition. Rather, it is as we explained above in the explanation, I've created the evil inclination, I've created for it the Torah as a spice. It means that he has delved and exerted in the revealed Torah, and still the evil inclination is in power and has not melted at all. This is because he is still not...
In other words, you can begin with any book you want, not even the wisdom of Kabbalah, because the whole Torah is the names of the Creator. The whole Torah draws reforming light. But if you don't see within 3 years that you're beginning to improve, drop what you're learning and switch to the wisdom of Kabbalah, because you are probably incapable of drawing reforming light from the other parts of the Torah, and you only need the wisdom of Kabbalah. Yes?
Hence, he advises him to leave it and engage in the wisdom of truth.
For it is easier to draw the light in the Torah while practicing and laboring in the wisdom of truth than in laboring in the revealed Torah. The reason is very simple. The wisdom of the revealed Torah is clothed in external corporeal clothes, such as stealing, plundering, torts, etc. For this reason, it is difficult and heavy for any person to aim his mind and heart to the Creator while learning so as to draw the light in the Torah. It is even more so for a person for whom learning the Talmud itself is heavy and arduous. How can he remember the Creator during the study, since the scrutiny concerns corporeal matters and cannot come in him simultaneously with the intention for the Creator? Therefore, he advises him to engage in the wisdom of Kabbalah, as this wisdom is clothed entirely in the names of the Creator. Then he will certainly be able to easily aim his mind and heart to the Creator during the study, even if it is very difficult for him to study, for the study of the issues of the wisdom and the Creator are one and the same. And this is very simple.
New York 4. Rak atem shoalim.
New York 4, you're the only ones who are asking.
I spent the entire lesson today processing the material and writing notes to use. Is it correct to study like this, or is it better to just sit and connect?
I don't know
what you mean by notes. Taking notes is very important, but it caused you not to think about connection, right? It's a problem. This is a problem. But I think that you'll be able to do both. Once this way, once that way, and afterwards it'll connect. Both connection among the friends and also the topic we are learning. Because what we are learning is only about manners of connection between us. It's just that it's still not connected together. The connection and the topic of the learning, we don't see that they talk about the same thing. But it'll come. So keep going and you'll see. You'll see how it all connects. All of a sudden, you'll feel while you're writing that you understand what it's about. That's how it works. Latin 7.
Rab, para quienes no venimos de una tradición o de una familia judía, sería recomendable interiorizarnos.
If someone didn't come from the Jewish tradition or family, should we try to understand what the Talmud, Mishnah, and the different books are?
You're right. We're learning this long introduction to know these things. But those who don't belong to the Jews, who doesn't care about these things, it's really not important for him. But we're looking at the whole world after all. So he needs to understand why there is the Talmud, the Mishnah, the wisdom of Kabbalah. Like, there needs to be a general overview. You can't help it. But these are already corruptions. Spoil things that were added to this group called Israel, where instead of engaging in self-correction, engaged in what is written in the books as if it doesn't pertain to them personally. That's the way it is. All right. We are going to we're approaching the end of the lesson. What more should we do?
No.
Well, let's go to info.
Yeah.
The schedule for today, 10 a.m., live show, Chaim Ratz and Rav, till 10:30, then writer's meeting until 11:30 on Sviva Tova, and then at 1:30 recorded Pticha lesson, and 6:45 World Yeshivat Chavarim. And let's sing.
De fuerza para abrir bien los corazones cuando la luz asome, dejemos nuestra alma libre, llenaremos nuestros pozos que en el tiempo quedaron secos, como el árbol crecemos con el brillo en los ojos. Dale, 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 ni volver a cumar le cava si una ale, bella dale, a subir, unidos a subir, caemos y nos levantamos al fin, a subir, unidos a subir. Hay un rezo del corazón que quiere acercarse. Y dentro de él, a un hombre acurrucarse. Yesh tfila shel dmaot shepotchot sharei shamayim vekoshot hakzavot od me'at nilmad lichyot.